Today on The Balanced Word, breaking free of the fear that is hindering our lives.
Whatever it is that you really want out of life, what's standing between you and that is often fear. There's over 150 times when the Bible says, don't be afraid, stop being afraid, fear not. And yet fear is such a very real part of our lives. Sometimes it dictates everything that we do. Actually, the devil loves to use fear. It's one of his favorite weapons because it's so easy to scare people.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted.
As you take inventory of your life, is fear controlling what you do or don't do? Truth be told, it's driving many away from God's will and keeping us from something wonderful. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll hear what the Proverbs have to say on the subject of fear and God's much better way of bold living. So if fear has a grip on your life to some degree, I think you'll really benefit from today's lesson from Dave Roth.
Well, here we are again, finishing as we're moving through the year. We are rapidly advancing through the various topics that the book of Proverbs addresses, teaching us how to live smarter lives, do life better, be more effective. And the topic that we are looking at today and the scriptures in Proverbs that we'll be looking at are about the subject of fear. I just think it's odd when people who believe in God are really afraid of just about anything else. You know, why is it that in some ways it seems like Christians are more afraid than other people are when we of all people have reasons to be courageous and to be bold? And Solomon talks about that a lot, just the idea of not living your life out of fear. And it's really liberating once you get to the point where it's like, whoa, fear isn't driving the way that I live my life anymore. Chapman University just did a study recently that came out about the things that people are most afraid of. And it was really interesting. I mean, some of the things on the list, like people are afraid of heights. 24% of people, by the way, who, now again, anytime you see a survey, you have to remember that the people who actually answer surveys are kind of bottom feeder. I mean, people who answer surveys are morons. So, you know, it's a percentage of those. It's not like normal people don't answer surveys. They hang up. But 24% of them said, I'm afraid of heights. 17% or 19% said, we're afraid of death. And that makes sense. The second highest, even, you know, there were people were afraid of Obamacare, 36%, and, you know, I guess maybe that's reasonable, but having their gun rights taken away, 38% of these people, they're afraid of that. Maybe you understand that, I don't know. 41% afraid of terrorists, 42% afraid of clowns. It's like, people are so paranoid of clowns now that McDonald's isn't using Ronald McDonald anymore because they think, you know. But, you know, the only thing higher than clowns was government corruption at 61%. And if you're afraid of government corruption, you do have something to be afraid of, certainly. But 61%, it's amazing. The other day, my granddaughter Sadie was over, and she came and got a doll that she had as a gift, and it was at our house, and she came and gave it to me. She goes, here, Papa, you play with this. And I go, oh, okay, and it's a really cute doll. And she goes, I don't like it. I go, why? She goes, it's scary. I go, it's a beautiful doll. What are you talking about? She goes, look at its eyes. They're creepy. And the funny thing is, I look at this doll's eyes, and I'm like, it is kind of creepy. But when we're talking about fear, it's important for us to acknowledge, what is fear doing in our lives? In what ways does fear hamper our ability to just live life normally? I saw a quote this week from Zig Ziglar who said, everything you want is on the other side of fear. Whatever it is that you really want out of life, what's standing between you and that is often fear. There's over 150 times when the Bible says, don't be afraid, stop being afraid, fear not. And yet fear is such a very real part of our lives. Sometimes it dictates everything that we do. Actually, the devil loves to use fear. It's one of his favorite weapons because it's so easy to scare people. And that's one of the reasons why almost everything you're afraid of, it's actually a lie. Because the devil, who's the father of lies, knows all he has to do is make you think about any ridiculous thing, and somehow now you're afraid of clowns, or now you're afraid of heights, or now you're afraid of Obamacare, or whatever. And it's like, how you can get programmed like that. It's why the devil uses terrorism, why he inspires crazy people to... What they do is all designed to make you scared. And if you can, you know, by hurting a small number of people, you can cause a great number of people to be completely paralyzed and unable to live their life out of freedom. You know, because of one idiot that tried to light his shoe on fire in an airplane, now everybody who gets on an airplane has to take their shoes off. The devil loves that kind of stuff. It's like, ha ha ha, they're so stupid. They're scared. It's affecting the way that they live their lives. We'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, the first passage that we're going to look at where Solomon talks about fear. Proverbs chapter 3, and let's begin reading with, we'll start at verse 23. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. In the context here, Proverbs chapter 3 is just one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But he's been talking about wisdom and how important wisdom is, and now his discussion of wisdom comes down to this. If you live your life wisely, if you make good decisions and good choices with your eyes wide open, you won't have to be afraid. You won't have to be somebody who's afraid of your own shadow, who's constantly controlled by, well, I would do that, but I'm afraid. Now, wisdom, again, it means that you take a look at the situation objectively. Most of the things that we fear, it's completely irrational that we fear them. But we still have that feeling. But wisdom says, okay, I know I feel this way, but in my mind I understand. Now there's no, I may be afraid of heights, but if I spend my whole life never going up anywhere high, the views that I miss, and the truth is, you know, I've been a lot of high places. I never jumped off or any fell off or somebody pushed me off. And yet, some of the most beautiful views I've ever seen were up high. Wisdom looks at it and says, I'm looking at this objectively, and I'm deciding that just because I fear something doesn't mean I'm not gonna do it. It's not recklessness. It's just an intelligent evaluation of the circumstances and a refusal to let fear dictate what you're actually gonna do. When I learned to fly, one of the things that my flight instructor told me was, there are old pilots and there are bold pilots, but there are no old, bold pilots. In other words, you know, you do need to consider, you need to think about what you're doing, and you can't just go crazy. But at the same time, you can't not do something just because it's scary. And wisdom evaluates the situation and then says, I have confidence, as he says there in verse 26, the Lord will be your confidence. God will give you this sense of, this is okay. I'm gonna go forward no matter how I feel. When I was a kid, people used to say to me all the time, wow, Dave, you are just absolutely fearless. Well, I'm far from that. I was afraid all the time. Doing the crazy stuff that I did, you'd be insane if you weren't afraid to do it. It's just that I didn't let fear tell me, okay, yeah, swinging on a rope over the freeway is scary, but man, it helped me to hang on really tight. And I'm not suggesting that you do that. You'll probably be institutionalized if you do. But again, here, it's confidence in God. Now, you don't have to turn over there, but in Proverbs 14:16, he says, A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. When we talk about confidence, this sense of I know where I'm going and I'm moving forward with a purpose, it's never a good thing to be someone with no confidence. Some people are afraid of their own shadow. If you're afraid of everything, that's a bad thing. That's not the way God wants you to live. But at the same time, there are some people who are totally self-confident. I can do anything. That's not very healthy either, because you are limited. The ultimate balance between being self-confident and having a lack of confidence is meeting there with God in the middle and going, you know what? I have confidence in God. Now, confidence is not the same as certainty. Just because you are confident doesn't mean you know the future. Doesn't mean that there's no possibility that something bad could ever happen. A lot of times when people are afraid, we try to convince them that there's no way in the world that that could happen. But the truth is, we know, no, it actually, what you fear could happen. It's just a real long shot, and it's not likely to happen. Confidence in God means, I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm not going to live by fear, and I know that things will be fine even if it doesn't work out the way I think it will. Remember in the book of Daniel when the three Jewish guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were prisoners in Babylon along with Daniel, they were friends of Daniel's, they were told, like everyone else in Israel, there's a big gold statue of Nebuchadnezzar. When the band plays, bow down and worship the idol. Well, everybody else bowed down. These three guys were still standing up, and they were in trouble. And so they were called before Nebuchadnezzar, and he goes, look, you will be thrown. Everybody was told, you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace if you don't bow down to the statue. So I'm going to have the band play again. This time, you bend over and tie your shoe, do whatever you have to do to make it look like you're bowing down. And I love what the guys said to Nebuchadnezzar. They said, look, here's the deal. They said, our God is able to protect us even from the fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down to your stupid idol. See, that's confidence. It's like, I know God can do it. I don't know if God will do it. But it doesn't even matter to me, because since I know that God can do it and I have confidence in him, I will not live my life by following after fear. I will not spend my energy and rob my life of its meaning just because of what could happen, because I also know what God could do. And if he chooses not to do it, that's okay. Now, trusting God also means that if you think God's calling you to do something and yet you have fear, it's like so often we feel like, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm hearing from God or not. I don't know, you know, could this be God? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. If every time you think you hear from God, you're certain that it's God, that's probably mental illness. But, you know, but the thing is, if I go, I feel like God is doing this. I don't know for sure if he is. That's where we trust. But it's not just trusting that I'm right, because I may or may not be able to hear from God. I know that I'm capable of hearing from God, but more than that, I trust God that he is actually able to speak to me and make his will clearly known to me. So my confidence in him means, here's what I think I'm going to do, and I think it's what I feel God leading me to do, but I could be wrong. It's okay. The deal is, if God really wants to speak to me, he's able to do it. I'm not confident in my own ability to hear, but I am real confident in his ability to speak. And so, do I trust him enough to say, God, I'm going to trust you, and therefore, I'm going to do what I feel like you're leading me to do, and I know that it'll be okay. The pressure's off me. It's nothing is dependent on me getting it right. It's all dependent on God's ability to step in when it's needed, and then even in some cases, fix what I damaged and cover for me when I mess something up. But that's confidence when you believe in that kind of a God. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 28. And verse 1, I've always loved this verse. He says, the wicked flee when no one pursues. They're paranoid. They're running away. Nobody's even chasing them. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Don't you admire people who are bold, who aren't constantly afraid of their own shadow, who aren't always paranoid about what might happen or what could happen? Or there's a boldness that God wants us to have because we serve a God who's the king of the jungle, really, that he is the one who, the lion of the tribe of Judah, is on our side. And so we should have a boldness about life. The righteous, he says, live boldly. Wicked people, people who are doing life wrong, they're paranoid and they should be. What does bold living look like to you? What if your life right now, if you looked at the areas of life where you're holding back, where you're afraid to move forward, where you're wondering what's going to happen, you're living life nervous like a skittish cat, what would it look like to live a bold life all of a sudden, to have an infusion of courage, to be encouraged in a way in the way that you live your life? Bold living, I mean, I think sometimes bold living means you do some things that scare you. If I never do anything that makes me feel scared, then am I really doing anything that has any kind of value at all? Because almost everything that's really important can kind of make you feel scary, because anything that's worth achieving also has a possibility that you're going to fail. And we worry so much about what people think of us. Often it's, you know, we're as paranoid as people who are doing life wrong. If we're like, no, I'm trying to do the right thing, I'm trying to be a good person. In fact, I think sometimes not only should we do things that scare us, every once in a while, it's good for you to do something just because it scares you. Last week when I did announcements, I was talking about the Mexico trip, and I'm sure I went too far, and somebody wrote to me and was really offended because I, in that service, I think it was second service, I don't know, they were new, it was their first time here, and they hear the pastor get up and say, if you don't go to Mexico, you're a chicken. I'm like, okay, yeah. And I apologize for saying that. I didn't mean to communicate that. What I was trying to say was, if you don't go to Mexico because of your fear, then you are allowing fear to control what you do. And that's not how God leads us or guides us. I'm more afraid of fear than I am of anything else that I'm afraid of, because I know how fear can steal my life. And so I would rather say, if I'm nervous about this, I think I'm just going to do it just to prove that I am not living by fear. I think that's one of the advantages of roller coasters and things like that. It's like, now you get to a certain age, like I've done the roller coasters and I know, you know, I felt that sick feeling and everything. And so I know I will do it, but after neck surgery and things like that, you know, it's probably not a great idea for me, but I have to find other things in life that make me nervous. All talking to a certain person or even saying something that I think needs to be said. There are all kinds of reasons why we get skittish over even just speaking the truth, because somebody's going to misunderstand it, somebody doesn't know you're joking or whatever. But the thing is, if you want to live boldly, which is the way God wants you to live, I would encourage you every once in a while, just do something just because it's scary. I mean, be wise about it. Consider the possibilities and don't take unnecessary risks. You don't need to like go, well, you know, Pastor Dave, we listened to your message, so I went and jumped a motorcycle off a cliff and did a backflip. Yeah, that's not really what I have in mind. But to at least, I have a friend who emailed me and she said, wow, I was so excited. There's this missions trip coming up, and she lives back in Detroit. And she goes, oh, I was so excited about it, but now I'm thinking about it, going over to this other country. And I said, you should do it. I said, the very fact that you're starting to have fear means you ought to do it. Don't ever let fear talk you out of stuff. Just go for it. Because at the very least, you're like proving that fear doesn't rule you. I used to enjoy the old Fear Factor show because it's like, you prove at the end that fear is evidently not a factor for you. And I think that bold living sometimes looks like, I will do something just because it scares me. We also have to understand that what I'm saying goes completely contrary to all of our societal norms today. Somewhere along the line, we have wimpified our society so much that people think they can eliminate every risk and every chance of being vulnerable that there is out there. And again, I've talked to, you know, old guys, we always just like, oh boy, back in the day, you know, so fun riding in the back of a pickup truck, or, you know, when I was a kid, laying in the back speaker deck on the back of the car, and, you know, and I never, you know, we used to shoot rubber bands at anybody. I never saw anybody lose their eye, you know, or from paper airplanes and stuff. But our society thinks that we can make people absolutely safe. So we have these laws against everything. Almost everything is illegal. And, you know, it just, God isn't the one who is wanting us to always be safe. He knows that every one of us, deep down inside, needs to sometimes do things that are marginally unsafe just to still feel alive, just to feel human, rather than to just be all insulated and locked up and protected, and then we'll still figure out some way to die, even in that safe environment with all of those restrictions.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 945, and 1130. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Let's return to Pastor Dave for the rest of today's message on fear.
Last week I was reading William Bennett's book on the first 1,000 years of church history. And again, I'm reading stories about these early martyrs in the first 2-3 centuries of the church. And what struck me so much is that these were people, whether it was an old man, you know, like Polycarp in his 90s, whether it was a young girl with a baby, every one of them, they had this courage that when the empire said, you either worship the Roman gods or you're going to be thrown to the lions, you're going to be tied to a stake and burned, you're going to be beheaded. And over again, these heroic people go, that's all you got? Go ahead. I mean, this one young gal that when they were trying to stab her and they couldn't get the knife in quite right, and she took and helped them guide it in. These were people who were like, are you kidding me? You're going to threaten me with saying I get to die for my faith like Jesus did? You're giving me and there were guys who were given an opportunity to escape. And they go, I'm not going to escape. It's an honor for me to give my life in this way. And I thought, what do you do? How do you crush a faith system that says, I don't mind dying? This week also I read an autobiography of the magician Chris Angel, and he's a fascinating, weird guy, but one of the things that he said that went along with this other thing is he said, early in my life I decided I'm not afraid to die. And he said, if you're not afraid of death, you're not afraid of anything. And I thought, boy, that's what we're losing today. That's what, you know, yes, you take calculated risks. Yes, you use wisdom. You don't need to do things recklessly. But at the same time, if you just decide that fear is not going to be a major determining factor in what I do with my life, man, there is power there. things that you can do, experiences that you can go through and just feel this exhilaration of having made it through and survived it. And also, then you begin to realize that, and if I feel like God's telling me to do something, I'm going to do it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to feel weird about it. But I already know that's not something that's going to run my life.
We'll hear more about the way to smarter living as we dive deeper into the Proverbs next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Raw. God bless. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.